There we go. Good morning. So good to be here. Okay, now the kids are gone. I'll show you what's up for to win during the potluck. So I brought some gifts. So during the potluck, we decided we're going to do a little draw. So I have a Edmonton Elks signed football from our Grey Cup breakfast a few months ago. And my boss gave it to me as I was heading out the door the other day. He's like, Roxanne, I think someone from your church might really like this. So there's an Edmonton Elks signed football, and then there's a Athletes in Action thermos, mug, tumbler, whatever you want to call it, a Yeti mug that I also wanted to give away. So downstairs, during the potluck, we're going to have a little draw for these. You can put you, the kids, whoever can put their names in the draw for a few prizes. So I'll put that out of the way. Oh, I was just thinking when we were sitting there, 25 years ago, my family moved away from this wonderful community. So for those of you that I haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name's Roxanne, and I grew up here. So in my junior high school years, very formative years, obviously, were spent here in this building, in this community, down at the high school, a block away. And I'm just so thankful for that time in our lives. And then my family moved away from here, I think it was the fall of 2000, if I remember correctly. So 25 years ago, we moved away. I had already been at university, at Trinity Western University. I came back for the summer, and then it was that following year that that my family moved, and I did as well. And so I just wanted to share that a little bit, just because of my thankfulness for to be here again, and each time I come, it's just so fun seeing people and being welcomed warmly, and I get really excited to come back and even drive the streets. Last night I did the normal drive by my house where we used to live down the block and see what's changed, and drive by the new fancy school, the Catholic school, with that ice rink and the park, the playgrounds they have now. It's there's been some really fun changes that have been in the community. So this morning, I'm going to share some stories. We're going to open God's Word together, and I hope that it's my hope is that it's a mutually encouraging time. My hope as well is that you guys will see how God is using all of us. I loved that missionary story time. That is so true. That's my heart, is that every one of us, God has planted us different places, given us different skills, abilities, put us in different people's lives. And I think of in BC, I live now in Langley, BC, which is just outside of Vancouver, and I get to play flag football on a women's team and a women's league in Vancouver. And my teammates live all across the Lower Mainland, and we come together every Saturday, play together, and stick around after and hang out a little bit. But these women, I don't know that they know another Christian in their life. And I marvel every week. I'm like, wow, God, why have you placed me here? And I still don't know all the things. I ask him over and over again, Lord, why do you have me here with this group of women? But I have come to love them deeply. And we're starting to have more and more conversations. And I'm getting them connected in different ways in Athletes in Action, which is an honor of mine. And it's really fun. But that's an opportunity. I'm like, wow, this is so unique. Why me here? Someone from Northern Alberta, here in Vancouver with these women. Lord, what are you wanting to do? And I think of all the different places that you are in your communities, in your neighborhoods, in your school, in your sport, in your work, in your play, in just like some of the recreational activities. I love that. In the grocery store, in the Canadian Tire, and the Boston Pizza. Like, where is God placing you, and what does he want to do, and what is he doing in your community and in the lives of people around you? I want to share this morning a passage from Isaiah 43. Okay, where am I here? Whoops, wrong way. I've titled the talk this morning, Remember, Forget, Believe. You'll see why as we unpack it. But I hope that this sticks in our minds. Remember, forget, believe. There's a passage here in Isaiah 43 that I want us to look at. And in Isaiah 43, it's just this collection of these prophecies, and the prophet Isaiah and others are speaking God's word to the people of Israel. And in Isaiah 43, there's this really beautiful passage, and in I'll read it and then I'll unpack it a little bit. So he starts in verse 16, and the prophet says this: "This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, army and reinforcements together, and they lay there." Oops, sorry guys, I went too far. I'll read it from here. It's easier. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So let's unpack that a little bit. In this passage here, it's really, Isaiah, what he's doing here is it's really interesting. This is what the Lord says. And then he stops and pauses. And he's like, remember? Remember what the Lord, who this Lord is, who's speaking? So he says, this is the Lord who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. And for some of us, we're reading this and we're like, this, I don't remember this passage. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know how many of you are Oilers fans, but I grew up cheering for the Oilers. The Oilers were always very important to me. I love them. I have orange and blue earrings from when I lived here. I have all these stories about how I was a fan. And some of you have been watching lately. Some of you have not been watching lately, but the Oilers have a pretty good team. But at Christmas, or actually it was my birthday last year, my sister got me this t-shirt. And all the t-shirt says, it has some names on it. It says Wayne, Paul, Mark, Glenn, Yari, period. And then underneath it says, once upon a time in Edmonton. That's it. That's all the shirt says. And if you were an Oilers fan, if you're an Oilers fan in the 80s, if you're an Oilers fan now and love history, you know exactly what that shirt is talking about. Wayne Gretzky, Yari Curry, Paul Coffey, Mark Messi. These are legends of names. And they're men who became legends because of their success on the ice, their involvement in the community, and they became legends. So much so that 40 years later, we're still talking about these guys on a first-name basis, and a lot of people, if you know the Oilers, you hear the name Wayne. You know hockey, you hear the name Wayne. What do you think? Gretzky. And you think of those four Stanley Cups he won in Edmonton. You think Mark? Oh, Mark Messier. Oh, yeah, he won five Stanley Cups in Edmonton. He was a captain after Wayne left. Oh, yeah, they were best friends. You know, Yari. Oh, he's the guy from Finland that came. Didn't know very good English, but he could sure play hockey. And all these things, you just need a trigger of a word. Well, it's interesting now because you have new stars on the Oilers. You have Leon Draisaitl. You have Connor McDavid. All you need to say is Connor. People know, oh, Connor McDavid. All you need to say is Leon. Oh, Leon Draisaitl. But it's interesting because when I was watching the Stanley Cup Finals, it's not CBC anymore, Sportsnet has the intro videos at the very beginning, and they do this montage of all these videos, and it gets you excited for the game, and they have music playing to it, and one of my friends always makes fun of me that I love watching that, but I just love the like emotion that rises up. But it's really interesting because at the end of the video, they had pictures of Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier holding the Stanley Cup up, because there's no pictures of Connor McDavid holding a Stanley Cup up. There's no pictures of Leon Draisaitl holding a Stanley Cup up, because they haven't done it yet. So what do? We keep looking at the past. But I sometimes think of this, remember, forget, believe. I think of sports fans and how we can get hung up on the past. And so all we just talk about the glory days of the past. But we forget that there's something actually happening now. And so these guys are actually wanting to, for us, they don't want us to forget the past, but they kind of want us to forget the past because they want to make their own statement now. They want to be legends in their own right. They want to start something now. And sometimes I think we relate with that. So we hear all these stories from the past of God's word and God's people, and we're like, God, I want something like that. I want that story. I want that new thing. And I think there's something beautiful about that. So this is what's happening with Israel as the prophet is speaking here. He's saying, guys, remember who God is. Remember the past. So all he has to do is a few key words. And these clues now are reminding the people of Exodus chapter 14. And if we're familiar with Exodus 14, we remember how Israel were slaves in Egypt. And the slavery was so intense, and they were crying out to God, God, help, please help. And so God raises up a man named Moses and brings Moses back to Egypt to free his people. And we know that it gets worse before it gets better. And then we remember, if you remember the story, you can go back in the early chapters of Exodus, and you can read about the plagues, and you can read about Pharaoh saying, no, I will not free your people. And Moses is like, free like God's people. And he says no over and over again. Well, finally, after plague, after plague, after plague, and after death and destruction, and then Pharaoh's like, okay, go. Just go already. But then what happens is they go, but then Pharaoh's like, whoa, what just happened? What? I let them go? So he starts chasing them with his whole army, all of his best army. He starts chasing them. And the people of Israel come up to the Red Sea, and they're stuck. And they're at the Red Sea being like, now what? And they start grumbling because they're like,
Moses, it would have been better in Egypt. Why did you bring us here into the desert to now die? And they start grumbling at him. And so the Lord has, so Moses is like, okay, Lord, like, so Moses talks to the people, so they're grumbling. And in chapter 14 of Exodus, verse 12, he's just, you know, they're saying, leave us alone, get away from us. Like, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die here in the desert. And Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord told Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. And then he's like, my glory, I will show them my glory. I will show all of Egypt my glory, and I will show you my glory. So then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. So the pillar of cloud moved between them, stood in front and stood behind them, so that he came between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. The Lord, through his presence, protected his people. Then Moses stretched out his hand, in verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Pretty crazy. The Lord just opened the sea. Psalm 77, verse 19 says, the Lord made a path that nobody knew was there. Who would have figured there would have been a path at the Red Sea for them to walk through? Nobody knew. They're like, we're done for. And the Lord's like, just wait. I'm going to show you something. And he does. See, Egyptians pursued them. They pursued them. So it keeps going. And then, so once the Israelites are through on the other side, then the Lord said to Moses again, okay, now stretch over your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. Verse 30 says this, that day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians laying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. This is what the prophet is referring to. He's saying, this is the Lord who is speaking to you right now. Remember him. Remember this story from way back when. You need only to be still. The Lord will fight for you. Remember that God. Remember the God who made a way that nobody knew, a path that nobody knew was there. Remember God's character. Remember that God actually executed judgment on his people who were being so brutal and unjust and unfair. God said, I will bring my judgment out. So the Lord brought the chariots and horses and armies and reinforcements together, and he extinguished them. These are people who are in exile being like, God, what are you doing? What's happening? We have been like in exile. We've been defeated. And God's like, I will deal with them. Remember, because I dealt with Pharaoh and the Egyptians, I will deal with them. So the prophet is just reminding the people, this is the God who's speaking. Remember the stories. Because in remembering the stories, we remember the character of God. When we remember how God has worked in the past, it shapes our belief for what he's going to do in the future. Remembering helps us put our trust in him. So he's telling the people, remember who is speaking here. Then he goes on. This is what's so funny to me. So he's like, remember. And then he said, forget the things of the past. Do not dwell in the past. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on those things. So God worked in powerful ways. Through that, we know God's character. We know that God can make a way where there is no way. We know that God desires freedom for his people. We know that God is faithful. We know that God's not just going to bring us into the desert for no purpose. You know that God wants glory. He wants his glory. We know all those things who God is. But the Lord's saying, forget the past. Don't dwell there. I did that then. But look, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing now. So he's telling people in exile, guys, I'm doing a new thing. I will take care of you. I'm doing a new thing. And he goes on, one of the ways he's doing a new thing, he's like, don't you perceive it? Can you see it? I'm making a way in the wilderness. What? I've made a way in the wilderness before. I'm doing it again, but I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing now for a new generation and a new people. And you will remember this time too. But I'm doing a new thing because we need to remember this. He's like, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. He goes on in this beautiful promise of what he's going to do for his people. But there's something so striking to me about this passage. It's the remember, forget, and believe. Remember what God has done. Share stories of what God's done. Remember who he is, his character. Remember what he's done in Israel's history and in our own history. But then, like, forget? It's like, what? But forgetting and not dwelling on the past, what does it do for us? It's then, it's like, oh, we think then that God needs to act in the same way. Well, no, God's not tied to how he acted then. He made a way in the desert that one time in that sea. He didn't do that again. He did other things. Even when Israel, like Moses, if you remember, this is a deep pull, but if you remember the story from Moses getting water from the rock because the people are thirsty, and so the Lord tells him to... he tells him two different times. The first time, I'm misremembering, is he tells him to hit the rock with the staff. He tells him, and then water comes out. Well, a little while later, people need water again. So Moses is like, oh, I'm going to hit the rock. And God's like, no, I didn't tell you to. I told you to speak to the rock that time. And there's disobedience there. So it's like, you know, sometimes we think that God has to work in the same way again because the first time God's like, guys, I'm doing a new thing because I'm always working and moving. And so he's asking us to forget the things so we don't dwell on that. We remember how God works, and it actually draws out a belief in us, belief in God's power, his character, his mystery, his mercy, his grace. We remember so we're reminded who God is and what he's done, but we forget as we choose not to dwell there, but we believe that God is still doing a new thing. He's still acting according to his nature, according to his character, now and in the future, and we can hold him to that. So let's remember who God is now, how he's worked in the past, not so we can ask him to work in the same way. Maybe he does. There's so many times that God does actually choose to work in the same way. But this is so we can know his character, so we can know him, and we can have this intimacy with him, so we can hear from him. God, what are you doing? How are you working? How do you want me to work with you? As we look ahead, we can believe that he can and do a new thing, the water in a wasteland, which is so beautiful. But sometimes I wrestle with this question. God, okay, I'm reading this prophecy to the people of Israel way, like thousands of years ago. How can we believe that you're still doing a new thing? How can I hold you to that, Lord? One of my professors, when I was doing my master's, he would talk about prophecies in the Old Testament and how God just works so beautifully where it's like, he's like, it's like climbing a mountain. When you're in front of a mountain, you just see that mountain. And then you get to the top and you're like, oh, there's another mountain. And then you get to climb that mountain. You're like, this is really cool. And then there's like another one, and it opens up more mountains. He's like, prophecies are often like that, where there's an intended purpose right at the beginning. And so the Lord is speaking to very real people in Israel in exile, the Israelites in exile. But as we understand it, the Lord actually has new things that he wants to do through his word, because why? His word is living and active. We see that in Hebrews chapter 4. And so one of the ways that we can trust God to do new things in our time, in our lives, in our city, in our era, is because of the Holy Spirit. I won't go too in-depth. I could do a whole morning talk on this, and I don't want to go too in-depth because I want to share some stories with you to encourage you. But the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, talks about how when you believe in him, when you believe in Jesus, he gives us the Holy Spirit. It's a seal, like a guarantee depositing our inheritance of what's to come. So we've been given the Holy Spirit on belief of Jesus. And Jesus, when he describes who the Holy Spirit is, he says, streams of living water will flow from within. Well, any time in nature and God's creation, when we see a stream, like living water, where it's like there's life around it. There's new things growing. There's new growth. There's new life. There's new life in the water. And then Jesus actually describes the Holy Spirit in John 6. He says, the Spirit gives life. So the Holy Spirit gives life. And then Romans 8, Paul actually says, so another teacher, Paul says, the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead is living in you. What? The Spirit brings life, and that Holy Spirit is living in us, and he's moving around us, and he's working around us. See? Can we perceive it? Can we perceive it. The other work is that the Spirit transforms us. So sometimes we think that the Spirit just strengthens us to imitate Jesus. It's so much more than that. The Holy Spirit actually transforms us and shapes us and changes us into the image of Jesus. It's a lifelong process of transformation that happens. And so there's hope there because it's a lifelong process of transformation. We get things like the Spirit-filled life, or the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. We get like things like more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more courage, a deeper relationship with the Father. These things can happen as we walk with the Lord. There's a newness. Where there is life, there's newness. Sometimes that newness doesn't look like joy and overflowing happiness. Sometimes it looks like times in the desert for our roots to go deeper. Colossians 2 talks about being rooted. Sometimes it looks like a baby being weaned. I know a lot of us know what a baby being weaned. Psalm 131 talks about how the psalmist is like, I am like content like a weaned child with his mother. And I'm like, I feel the opposite sometimes. Lord, I'm not content with you right now. I'm not sitting in peace trusting you. I want more from you right now. But sometimes where there's life and newness, it looks like a baby being weaned. Sometimes it looks like going through trials so that our faith is proven genuine. 1 Peter 1 talks about that. Sometimes newness looks like growing in perseverance, maturity, and hope, like James 1 and Romans 5 say. Sometimes a newness looks like soaking up the teaching of God's word. When Paul was a believer, he went away for a period of time to soak up God's word and learn before he started his ministry. Sometimes newness looks like joy overflowing. Beautiful fruitfulness. But what we can hold to is that God's word is living and active, and in us the Holy Spirit is at work, and the Holy Spirit brings life, and that Holy Spirit is living in us. Friends, God is doing a new thing. And I want to share a few stories with you to encourage you how God is doing a new thing through our partnership, through what you're doing, but just so that we can be encouraged all around the world, God is doing a new thing. We celebrated 50 years, Athletes in Action, 50 years in Canada last year. And as we did, we started just trying to think through stories of the past. And God, through someone else, gave us this real gift of a story. So we got this email. Oh, these are some pictures that were attached in the email, and I'll read it to you. We got this email from a gentleman from the Ukraine. And this was from December, a year and a half ago. He sent us this email. Just random. It was at info@athletesinaction.ca, so it wasn't sent to anybody specific. And he says, hello. He said, I want to thank your organization, Athletes in Action, for the work you do to the Lord. About 33 years ago, in 1991, your basketball team was in the Ukraine. I still keep the New Testament presented to me with autographs and wishes of the basketball players. I was most impressed by the basketball players' game. They didn't just play like professionals. They were head and shoulders above. But he said, from that time, God began to change my life and myself. Jesus is in my heart, and now I am a new creation. Now my family and I serve the Lord in the local church. We help refugees. We do children's camps and other charity work for victims and the wounded as a result of hostilities. And we testify about Jesus, about salvation. He says, I feel guilty for not saying thanks earlier. I was going to write a letter, but I didn't know how. He says a few other things, but then he says this. I'm writing this letter because I just want to say thank you. Because I want to testify that the Lord has touched me. I physically felt his touch and did not even realize how I found myself on the knees before the Lord. When I opened my eyes, everything gray became colored. The Lord saved me from sleepwalking and other addictions. He brought me out of darkness. He gave me hope. He gave faith. He gave love. Thank you, Jesus, for everything. Greeters with Advent and Merry Christmas. He sent us these pictures of the Bible that he's kept. That was signed. These are just some like signings from some of the athletes that were there. A few weeks ago, I got to meet a lady named Tracy, and I met her because her daughter Sophie is doing an internship with us this summer. Tracy was on that basketball tour in 1991. And we got to share the story with her, and she was amazed. She's like, we never get to hear these stories of how God works 30, 35 years later after we go. So what Tracy did with a group of other men, there was a few other women on that trip with basketball, they went overseas to Russia-Ukraine area, and by faith just said, we're going to play basketball, we're going to share Jesus, we're going to give out Bibles. You know, the era of the time, the Soviet had just opened, and there was some, or the Ukraine area, and so they were able to go in and share Bibles. They're like, we don't know what God's doing, we're just by faith doing these things. And 35 years later, we get an email from someone who said, thank you, my life has been transformed, and I still have that Bible. How cool is that? God is working in such cool ways. And now Sophie, Tracy's daughter, is doing an internship with us, and she gets to do the same. She's going to work here in Canada doing camps and then on university campus in Vancouver area. And she's just by faith being like, Lord, use me faithfully where you want to use me. And the Lord, it's a story of remembering because God is doing a new thing. Another story I have here is, I'm not sure how clear this picture is, but this was in November, this last year, the picture's taken in Abbotsford, so it was in the Lower Mainland, and the Grey Cup, I don't know how many of you follow the CFL, the Canadian Football League, but the Grey Cup was in Vancouver. And traditionally, Athletes in Action, for almost as long as we've been around, 50 years, we've been doing outreach in and around the CFL and the Grey Cup. And so that's what this football is from, one of our events that we do. But this year, we decided to put a women's team together. And so that was, usually it's just CFL players, and we go to different areas in our community and be able to share the hope of Jesus. But this year, we're like, okay, we're going to bring some women along. And some of the trips, you know, there was some of the CFL guys and some of the women. But we decided to focus on Olympians, on the women who were Olympians. So some of you might recognize the two tallest women. They're basketball players, Catherine and Michelle Plouffe. Michelle's on the right, Catherine's on the left. And Catherine and Michelle are from Edmonton. I've known them since their university basketball days, but they played 3x3, so 3-on-3 basketball. So some of you might remember them from the Olympics. They've played 5v5, like full court basketball, for many years as well, both on the Olympics and professionally. And so this last year, they represented Canada playing 3x3 basketball. And then the young lady on the far your right there, she's a race walker. And so she does marathons lengths, but race walking. So it's a very unique sport. I only had ever seen it in the Olympics before. And she's a student at UBC and qualified to represent Canada at the Olympics, has several Canadian national records, and loves the Lord deeply as well. The lady, and you see me, and the lady in the middle is Rusha. Rusha's husband, Dave, works with us. He's my boss. And then on the far left here is Elodie. Elodie is on my team. She works with us full time, but she also represented Mauritius, which I'll get to in a few minutes, in beach volleyball at the 2012 Olympics in London. So we've got this all-star team of women that's like, we had so much fun. We got to go to a few different places in the community. One was a women's shelter, got to connect with some of the women there. Another was an addiction recovery center. Another place was, actually there was a few addiction recovery centers. And on the Thursday of this week of Grey Cup, so we've spent a lot of time together, I've seen these women just share so openly and vulnerably about their story. Because those places that we were going into, those women who are at the women's shelter, they're not really watching the Olympics. They're trying to survive. You know, going to an addiction recovery center, they might watch some Olympics, they might know some sport, but they're just trying to day by day live faithfully and trying to get over some of these big obstacles in their lives. And so you'd think sometimes some of those places we go into are like, why are we here? We play sport. But each time the women chose to say, Lord, you've placed me here. I don't know why you have me here, but what are you doing? What's the new work that you're doing? And so they got to share their stories, and they were sharing so openly and honestly. I was so proud of them. But the Thursday, we went to some local prisons. And I've never done any prison ministry before. I've mainly just worked with athletes, to be very honest. And so the morning, we went into a women's prison. I'll share a story for that later. But the afternoon, we went for lunch, and we had a host with us, a lady who works for Prison Fellowship in Canada. And as we're driving to the prison, she was like, guys, we're going to a men's prison. And I was like, what? I thought we were in a women's prison. We're an all-women's group. Like, how are we going to a men's medium security prison for the afternoon? We drive in, and we get into this chapel center. The chaplain there is just a wonderful man. And you could just feel the Spirit at work. And so we spent a few hours with them. The women shared. The guys, we had a Q&A, and they had been watching the Olympics. They had so many questions for the women. It was pretty fun to hear their stories. But afterwards, some of the guys had left, and we ended up forming a circle. And Olivia, race walker, petite, soft-spoken, UBC athlete, student athlete, starts sharing her story. And she starts sharing her story of mental health and how hard it's been for her and her struggle. And I was amazed to look around the room and I saw the guys' faces change. And all of a sudden they were like, wow, we relate with you. And they started opening up, started sharing their own stories, their own struggle with mental health, their own obstacles of what they were facing there. And it just opened up this beautiful time of sharing. And the chaplain after said, you guys have no idea what you opened up today. He's like, these men, some of them have never even stepped foot in a chapel before. Some of these men wouldn't even say hi to me. And now you've opened up opportunity for me to connect with them. And they've shared their stories with each other. And we left being like, what? We're just like these athletes that like, love Jesus, but the Spirit is doing a new thing. And we didn't know where and how. They just were faithful to share their stories. And the Spirit opened up something that was so beautiful among these men in a medium security prison in Abbotsford. One further story. I don't know how clear this map is, but we've talked about Mauritius and Madagascar before. I went a few years ago. This is the Indian Ocean, for those of you who aren't familiar where it is. China's up there, India's there, Africa's here on the left, Australia's there, bottom right, and this is the Indian Ocean. So some of us might be familiar with Madagascar from the movies, or from the movie, but there's two other island nations, Mauritius and then Seychelles is north of Madagascar there. You can't really see it on the map, so I circled it so you kind of knew where the areas were. And if you remember the Jesus, John 3:16 balls, the soccer balls and basketballs, we guys bought some of those balls for us to be able to take over to this area so that they could share the gospel through camps. This is me there. That's a few years ago now. My friend Elodie from Mauritius, who represented Mauritius in the Olympics. She lives in Canada. And then in the middle is Corrine. She's from Madagascar. And then Pastor Alain is beside her. He's from Madagascar. And then Bruno is from Mauritius. So this is us in Madagascar and standing in front of the athletes' village of the Indian Ocean Island Games. And so the Indian Ocean Island Games are kind of like the Pan Am Games or Commonwealth Games, where just the athletes from that region come and compete together. And it is, Elodie competed as an athlete when she was in beach volleyball. And she said, for a lot of those countries, it's like their Olympics because they just will never get to the highest stage. They just don't have the development programs that are available to them. And so we were preparing. We're like, Lord, what do you want to do in the games at that point? And so we had some really, so this was a setup trip, had some really cool conversations. The next summer, Athletes in Action and Elodie brought a team from Canada and a few other countries to come and serve as chaplains to these university, or not the university, but these athletes from the Indian Ocean. And we ran camps with the balls, with the John 3:16 balls. We got to share the gospel through that. We did basketball tour earlier that summer. And then at the Indian Ocean Island Games, they met some chaplains from Seychelles. So Seychelles is that other country, north, and Seychelles has a reputation for the most beautiful beaches in the world. So Seychelles is north there. But we didn't know that they also had a reputation. They had Christian chaplains working with their athletes. They had a Christian, a believer, that was working in a high level of federation of sport in their country. And so we had a really cool opportunity to get to know them. And this last, and so our goal, our heart, and Bruno from the picture, Bruno's heart is to reach the Indian Ocean Islands with the gospel through sport. Many of those countries are closed countries to the gospel. Many of them are what we call creative access countries. You can't go in as a missionary. You have to find other ways of access. And so sport is a really natural way to access them. And so we got to go, not me personally, our AI staff, got to go to Seychelles to the World Cup of Soccer. Do you know there's a World Cup of beach soccer? They play soccer on the beach, and it's a World Cup. So we went and we served as chaplains there and got to connect with athletes from around the world. We had a team together from Seychelles, Madagascar, Mauritius, and the gospel is going forward in these countries through sport. Is that not the coolest thing ever? And so now we've gone to three different countries. We started in Mauritius, we have a presence now in Madagascar, and now Seychelles, and we are seeing God do this beautiful work through the Indian Ocean through sport. Friends, let me encourage you that Jesus is transforming lives. He's transforming your lives. He's transforming the lives of the athletes that I just shared about. He's transforming the lives of the people we get to connect with. And he's in the business of doing something new. Why? Because his Holy Spirit brings life. And Jesus transforms lives. And sport influences the world. It's unbelievable. Wherever I go in the world, I'm amazed at how much sport influences the world. It influences our language, our English language. It influences what we do with our time and energy and money here in North America as well. Sport influences the world, but we get so excited because we envision a world that's transformed by the gospel through sport. And that's what's so exciting. I'll stop there with stories. There's still more if you want to hear, but I want to encourage us today how God is at work. You are a part of these stories. These stories are in part because you guys are praying, because you guys are giving, because you guys are partnering with us in this work with Athletes in Action. You guys get to partner with Olympians as they go to the Olympics and share Jesus with their teammates, as they go to prisons, halfway homes, as they run camps, as they mentor other young women. You get to partner with a team that maybe 35 years from now will get to hear a story of a changed life, like that story from Ukraine that we just heard. You get to partner with these sports ministries in Mauritius and Madagascar and Seychelles and beyond. And you have your own stories. And the work that God's doing in your life, don't ever discount it. Because as you get to share your stories, I'm encouraged. As you get to share your stories, you can encourage each other. So we get to remember. We get to be reminded of God's character and who God is. We get to be encouraged to take steps of faith. We get to be encouraged to step out in faith and trust God for more. But the forgetting part is that God may or may not choose to work or move in the same way. We don't know. That's the beautiful mystery of who God is. But God's character is the same. His character is the same. So we can see, we can perceive that God's doing a new thing. So maybe for some of you, you need to spend some time remembering. What has God done in the past? How have you seen God at work? How has God shown you that he is trustworthy, faithful, and good? How has your life been transformed? What have you witnessed? Maybe some of you need to not dwell in the past, but instead forget the specifics, maybe the how, because maybe you're looking for a repeat performance and God wants to do something new. Maybe some of us are wallowing maybe in shame of regret in the past, and so we just keep focusing on that. And God's like, I've dealt with that. Let's bring, because he wants to bring healing and help us move forward. And maybe some of us need a renewed faith and belief that God is, in fact, doing something new, that God is working. And maybe some of us need a refreshing stream in the desert of our own lives. Maybe we just need to look up and see and perceive that God is doing a new thing. So let me pray, and then I'll wrap up. Lord, I'm so thankful that we get to remember that you have put stories, that you have preserved stories of your faithfulness over generations. I'm so thankful, Lord, that we can hold on to that. And I'm so thankful that we can be reminded of your character, because, Lord, we do forget too easily. And so that remember piece is so critical. This is the God who made a way where there was no way. That's the God who we're talking to. A God who brought justice in a situation that needed justice. A God who is attentive to his people's cry. That's the God that we are praying to, and that the God that speaks. But Lord, you also are saying, don't dwell there. Look forward. Look up. I want to do a new thing. So Lord, give us a belief and a faith to pray, to pray big prayers, to trust you for big things, to ask you for what seems like the impossible. Move in our hearts, move in our dreams, move in our ideas, move in our communities, so that, Lord, we can be praying and trusting you for new things. And then, Lord, give us faith to act. Give us courage through your Spirit, as your Spirit is working in us. Give us courage to act, to step out in faith, so that our faith isn't just in theory, but it's in practice. Help us to live out your heart for the gospel. Lord, thank you for how you're at work around the world. Thank you for my friends here. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this family. Lord, I'm so thankful to continue to see your Spirit moving here in this community, in Whitecourt, in this church, in Northern Alberta. Lord, you see these people. You see this community. You see this church. And I ask, Lord, that you would continue to move through your Spirit, through and in the individuals, through their families, their kids, through community, and Lord, into the neighborhood and into the dark places in this town. I ask for hope, Lord, that you would give glimmers of hope through your Spirit. Thank you for what you're doing, for what you have done, for what you want to do in the future. Lord, we trust you, and we are just so thankful. So Lord, as we even go downstairs and eat together and partake of your food and the bread and the wine, as we remember your covenant, maybe not formally in terms of communion, but as we break bread and drink together in community and fellowship, I pray, Lord, that we be reminded that you are a God who is present and good. So thank you, Lord. We praise you. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.